do 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 do. Welcome to Idea Factory Giveaway, a guest-guided mapping expedition to the borders of human creativity.
I'm your co-host, Besha, and none of this is my fault.
I'm your co-host, John, and this is entirely my fault. How's it going, Besha?
All right. That was, I'm going to work on that one. That's my Twilight Zone voice right there.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah. Like, what sort of, I was like, what kind of music would you ideally want?
I know what I was channeling.
Incredible.
Yeah. Please, my dog is growling.
That's even better.
Under the table.
That's even better.
That's great. That's a great soundtrack to this. So how's it going, John?
I was going to ask you the same thing because I feel like it's been a while since I have seen you.
That's true.
In fact, I think the last time I don't think we have recorded since you came back from across, as they called it, the pond.
From Cymru.
Yeah. I need to know everything about Wales and what happened.
So it really is full of sheep. I've made a lot of jokes about that, but like I have a video on Instagram, which none of you can watch, by the way, fuck off, of just like sheep trotting down a very narrow road in front of me, and there's dry stone walls on either side so they can't jump over, and they just like are trotting along, and they occasionally look back at me and they're like, oh, that's nice. I made one of the focuses of my trip just to like string things together was looking for megaliths. So there are a lot of photos from when I would like come out from behind a hedgerow after climbing through someone's back garden, and there's an ancient stone circle and there's just sheep standing in it, and they're like what?
Doing that thing that they do.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And I've ranted about this, I think, on Twitter, but the most interesting thing I learned on this trip, I've been to the UK before, but it was mostly like, you know, going to London and doing museums and things. I learned that the UK has a long tradition of public footpaths, which are often the right of way through private land.
Huh.
And I grew up in a rural part of Washington State.
Yes.
So my strong association with walking on someone else's land is getting shot at. And you can just like jump over the back garden wall. There's a stile. They built a little stile. So there's all these different kinds of stiles. Like there's the kissing gate. Uh-huh. And then there's these things that are just like little ledges in a rock wall that you use to climb over the fence. And they build those. And you're like, I'm in someone's yard right now. Someone's going to take a shot at me.
Yeah.
This can't be
you
right.
You can feel the crosshairs.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they are waiting. But these are all public footpaths and have been for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, which was so cool. And also constantly terrifying. And that's what I learned on my summer vacation.
That is fantastic. I don't think I have anything... I have nothing of import to tell you about anything that happened while you were gone.
Damn.
I'm still just busy preparing for the arrival of the baby.
Yeah, that's soon.
It's true. You know what? It's possible that by the time this episode comes out, the baby I may have entered the baby dome.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. But currently the baby has not yet arrived. And therefore the secret is not yet out.
Avocado. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that secret. There's the gender secret.
Yes, exactly.
Sex secret.
The sex secret. No one shall know. Although I'll be honest with you, I fear that I have slipped up a few times.
Like, oh, yeah?
But I don't think anybody's caught it, or maybe they're just too polite to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see if anybody is like, oh, I knew. And it was because of this thing you said that one time.
I mean, if they don't specify the thing that you said that one time, they've got a 50-50 chance of just like looking like they know what they're talking
about. That is also true. Is it time, perhaps, to introduce our guest?
I believe it is. Yes. Hello, guest.
Hi, Besha and John.
How's it going?
It's going great.
Normal humans. And you are?
My name is Liz.
Huh. Hello, Liz.
Hi.
Tell us about yourself, Liz.
Well, I'm a ceramic artist. I've been doing ceramics for a long time. Long time meaning like 15 years.
Incredible.
Which is a really long time, considering how old I am. No. it's an average amount of time. Anyway, my goal in pottery is to make your favorite mug or your favorite bowl. So I like functional work.
Okay.
I don't like things that just sit there on the shelf.
Certainly.
So, you know, when you wake up in the morning and you're getting your coffee and you just reach up for that one... your special mug, and you're happy because it's not dirty.
Yes.
I want to make that for you.
That sounds amazing.
So, and then, like, you know, you're like, okay, I've got my coffee, now I've got to have my cereal, and then you've got your great cereal bowl, and you're like,
it's not too
perfect.
Big. It's also not too small.
And it's not too deep, and it's not too wide. So,
It turns out, yeah, I do have fairly strict criteria for my bowls.
I drink tea in 20-ounce increments, so I'm real picky about my tea mugs.
Yeah.
For me, it's the glass I drink out of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got the Ghostbusters glass, and that's pretty much all I use.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's always out at your house.
Because it's the only one I want to drink out of. I have many questions about this pottery.
All right.
Is it... do you hand build, or is it a thrown thing where, like, you know, like on the wheel?
Yeah, I do wheel thrown pottery because it's so fun. So fun. It's like the best, funnest, most interesting thing to do, just getting your hands in clay and doing it on the wheel. Yeah, so I do wheel thrown pottery. I make pottery at Ruby's Clay Studio and Gallery in the Castro in San Francisco, so I'm very local.
Amazing.
Been sweet.
I used to play around with. I had a couple of ceramics classes in high school, mm-hmm. and I'm like, if I wanted to just like find a place to just go make like one or two things that I had in my mind, is there a place to do that?
Yeah, you could totally come to Ruby's Clay Studio. There's a drop-in program, and so you give some money. I don't know exactly how much it is, or since you know me, you know, you can be like, oh, I'm friends with Liz, and you just. You know.
Incredible.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will talk more about this offline.
Literally dozens of people are going to do that now. Wow. Well, if we've got dozens of listeners, how many do you think live in the city?
That is a damn good question.
Pottery?
We'll have to...
It might get weird for you there.
Yeah. You know, off mic, we'll set up a password. And then that's how we'll know. It'll be...
There's also another person named Liz at Ruby's Clay Studio.
Oh, I see.
So we'll just see who comes.
Fantastic. For those of you who are new to the show, here is what's going on. For the past decade, I've been writing down every stray idea I've ever had the moment I had it, which has resulted in a pile hundreds deep. That's a lot of ideas. Are they good ideas? Is this a normal amount of ideas for one person to even have?
No.
More importantly, are there any ideas in the pile that someone else could pick up and run with? To answer these questions, Basha and I have invited Liz to dig through the heap and see what she finds interesting for your entertainment, horror, or maybe even inspiration. Seriously, though, if you hear something you like, just grab it and go. I just want credit.
Basha, you want a cut.
You weren't sure, though. And that was the important thing. Yeah, I want to cut.
So, Liz, what's in the pile?
Okay, well, I've been going through your totally awesome spreadsheet.
Thank you.
I've marked some items that are super interesting to me.
Yes.
But I really want to talk about this one. It is in the category of art.
Okay.
And it's superhero luchador masks.
Yes.
And there's no notes.
There's no notes. Okay. So this is the part where I confess that I don't know anything about like Mexican luchador culture. I'm sure that there's like symbology and meaning behind the symbols that go on the masks and perhaps the colors and like the, you know what I mean? I really have no idea. So I don't know if this would count as appropriative or not. But like, I just want somebody to make like a like if there were like if you know like for me I guess it would be the DC superheroes. Like I want to see what
Spider-Man, obviously.
Well,
right?
No. Yeah. Well, Spider-Man is Marvel, so like I would want to see what a Batman luchador mask looks like.
No, because like, Spider-Man's Lantern. Like.
Spider-Man, so
his hood is already luchador mask shaped.
Yeah,
that's what
That's true. Yeah, Spider-Man is, yeah, he's like halfway there already.
Yeah.
But like a Batman one, or like, yeah, a Green Lantern, or a Superman, or a Wonder Woman, quite frankly. Like, I just want to see what those would look like.
Creepy.
Now that I've said it, I'm not sure that I enjoy that idea as much as...
But really, I mean Wonder Woman, just because she doesn't wear a mask.
Right.
Like Batman.
Yeah, Batman,
Spider-Man,
the Flash, Green Lantern.
Yeah,
you know.
Superman would be pretty creepy, too.
Yeah,
although you could get the curl.
Yeah, I mean, is there such a thing as a partial luchador mask? I mean, like...
No, that is its own luchador mask in and of itself. It would be like the Phantom of the Opera. Halfway across the face.
Yeah. So I want to see that somewhere. I want to, and you know, maybe I want to like wear. Why? I don't know. It was one of those things. Where it was like, I just want to see it. I mean, it's possible somebody's maybe done it in the time that since I had the idea, because I do not know. There's no date on that idea, is there? Yeah. Which honestly, the date would simply mean the date I had logged it. So it's not super precise either way. Yeah, I don't know.
I just learned some quick things on Wikipedia about luchadores and lucha libre, so, you know, FYI, I am now an expert.
You're now an expert. So, I mean, like, what do we think? Does this count as appropriation?
I don't think so.
I think luchadores might think otherwise.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Fair.
Fair.
I think that, I don't know.
I mean, since we don't have one in the room, we'll have to find out. Maybe somebody else.
Stay in our lanes until we hear otherwise.
Exactly, exactly.
What's next?
Okay, going with the art theme, although it is in the category of dating.
Okay.
Artist sweatshop night. And it has the tags party and crafts.
Okay.
Wait, it's in dating?
Yeah, the category. No, actually.
Oh,
the
no, it's party.
Sorry, it's
okay.
Party.
It's okay.
The other one.
Okay, so okay. Artist sweatshop night. Are you forming a sweatshop for an artist?
Yes.
Or are we just
okay.
Making the artist's work?
I think this is what this was. You know how there are, you know, like you go to like a modern art museum, right? Mm-hmm. And there are like these sort of installation pieces that are the kind of thing where it's like, you know that, like, you know, and like the name on the plaque is like, it's just one dude, right? But it's the kind of thing where it's like, this had to have taken a fucking team of people to make, right? So, this it's a party where, like, you know, like everybody shows up at the house and there's drinks and there's food, but there's also like, you pick one person to be the artist, and that person has an idea for like a thing, but it takes several people to execute. And so, like, over the course of the party, you all get drunk and you like do whatever the artist has in mind, and then you've got some kind of like art piece at the end of it. And I don't know what to do with at that point. I guess it depends on the idea the artist had, right?
Right.
It's either an installation piece that just lives at the house that the party was held.
They were out doing it in the park.
Yeah.
Or
if like it was like a video thing, and like everybody just takes a picture of it, and then they all have it, and then you destroy it later. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
So this idea reminds me of that movie Exit Through the Gift Shop.
Okay.
This dude who wants to be like Banksy.
Okay.
Did you see that movie?
I did not.
Oh, it was so weird and so interesting. Okay, so this guy really likes Banksy.
Yes.
He really wants to like be like him. So he tries to make like weird social commentary-esque art.
Mm-hmm.
But he pounds him out.
Uh-huh.
He like, it's almost like an assembly line.
Uh-huh.
He makes like 45,000 or, I don't know, don't quote me on this. Like a lot of,
turns out it was seven.
he makes a lot of these pieces, and then he kind of puts a gallery together, and he's like, and it's obviously for capitalistic gain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because it's like, what is the real point here? Is it art? Is it to be subversive? Is it to be like Banksy? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting film, but that idea reminds me of that.
Interesting.
Mm. All right, guys, we're going to manufacture some art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know if I have any ideas for art that requires that many people to make, but who knows? Maybe I do. Like,
I bet you do.
I'm not going to lie. Odds are good. I'm
pretty sure we can look for the art section here that will require that many people.
But yeah, like, you know, like if within a sufficient number of people, I feel like there are bound to be at least a few people who have crazy art ideas that need help to bring about. And so, like, you know, yeah. It's the kind of thing that would take a little bit of advanced planning, because you would need to pick the artist ahead of time. That person would need to, like, you know, make sure that they've got their idea.
The supplies.
You'd have to make sure you have the supplies.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, then everybody just shows up and you have a good time and you make whatever the thing is, and, you know, as long as they're not super attached to the outcome. Because, like, you know, the point is to have a good time and make a thing, and not necessarily to, like super execute to the absolute letter of the vision that was had. Although, maybe it is. I don't know. This is one of those things where, like, I had the idea, obviously, but then I've never done it, so I don't know what it would be like.
Or you can do the extra subversive artist sweatshop where everybody shows up for the fun party and you're like, make my fucking art. I'm selling this.
I bet people totally would do it.
Yeah.
You get enough people either and enough alcohol and enough art supplies.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, you turn it into a for real. Like, it is like a sweatshop. Nobody is leaving.
The door.
Produced 150 of these spray painted images of a little girl holding a balloon or something.
Or like a gorilla with a crown on his head.
And a gas mask.
Excellent.
Alrighty.
Yeah, your version's more fun.
Okay, this one I really like. This is in the category of business.
Okay.
Casserole food truck. Now, the reason why I picked this was because I had a roommate who wouldn't say the word casserole. He would say the word hot dish.
Was this person from Minnesota?
He was from Pennsylvania, but Western Pennsylvania.
Interesting.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
I have a roommate who is from Michigan, and it is indeed.
Yeah, hot dish.
No, wait. Is she? Don't tell her I can't remember which it is. But yeah, it is hot dish.
I mean, yeah. We've my wife is from Minnesota. Like that. Yeah, hot dish is a certified thing. And I don't know why there isn't a food truck that just makes it.
Yeah.
Like, they should. I bet they would make a killing.
And they could call it, like, hot dish.
They could just call it hot dish.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would be great.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's got to be easier to do it in mass form, right?
Point. But how would you give each person a serving?
You cut a square out, you put it on a plate, here
spatula?
You go.
Yeah. You just be like, plop, here you go.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, that's basically what you're doing with a barbecue truck, right? You're like, here's a big plop of pulled pork.
But yeah, hot dish truck. I mean, does it require a lot of oven space? I mean, like, maybe that's the only thing, like...
Well, but I'm sure that in a food truck you can, like, keep it under a heater and you prep it back at the something or other.
Yeah, several different stacks. I mean, like, you... Yeah. The problem there is, like, I guess in order to have sufficient variety, you need to have a lot of dishes.
Yeah.
You know, and there's, so we're talking about, like, a lot of, like, you know, big old trays.
Variety.
That just need to find space. And then, but, you know, you
could, I don't think it would be that hard, though, because, like, they're flats.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're flat.
You could find an oven that just had, like,
stack
racks
them on
you could just
sort each
of
other.
Slap. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, you've got your vegan ones, you've got your gluten-free.
Yeah. There's one that's, like, mostly tater tots.
Yeah.
You know?
There has to be. Yeah. There's one that's mostly macaroni and cheese, one that's all ham. It's just ham.
Ham makes me think of the ham sweats. Have you guys ever heard of that?
No.
I have heard of. Please elaborate.
So the ham sweats is when it's like Easter or a ham holiday.
Mm.
My family's from the Midwest, so.
Hell yes.
Yeah, we eat a lot of ham sometimes. So when you eat it, you're eating a lot of ham and then you just get sweaty.
Is that
a mild form of trichinosis?
No, it's probably. It's like, I've got the ham sweats. Just let me take a break here.
I would bet you that I have had the ham sweats at some point in my life. I love ham. Mavis is not so much a fan of ham. I love it, though. There was one, it was actually, I think, maybe within the first year we started dating. For some reason, my parents sent us a ham, like around Christmas, New Year's kind of a thing. She and her best friend Maya, who lived together at the time in this house, they took off for New Mexico to, like, go celebrate with
and left you the ham.
Yes. So I stayed in their house and I threw a party there, and, like, I was like, here's the ham, and there was, like, there's something else. I made tikka masala mashed potatoes, I think.
Mm.
And, you know, like, obviously they didn't all get eaten because nobody eats all the food at a party. And so I, for the next couple of days, like, that was, I think, pretty much all I ate was ham and tikka masala mashed potatoes. And it was glorious. I don't know what it is about, like, when my, like, then girlfriend, now wife, leaves town and I just, like, For some reason, I take that as my cue to just eat like a fucking monster.
And you didn't before. Before you had.
Well, yeah, when I was single, I ate like a normal person. But right. Like now, it's, I don't know what it is. Like I,
the old ball and chain's gone. Gotta eat nothing but tater tots.
It's time for me to make my own rice in the rice cooker and then go to fucking Panda Express and get like a 5-gallon bucket of orange chicken. And like that's all I'm eating. Like that and the rice, and that's all I'm good. I'm set for like a full week. Like one time she went to Dubai, and I'm surprised I'm not still just like.
I feel like this is a time when your hatred of condiments is doing you ill, because this is absolutely a time where you're like, fuck yeah, I'm going to put ranch dressing on it. Nobody can tell me otherwise.
That's going to change if you have a kiddo.
I suppose that's true.
You're going to be like, oh, did he or she get all of his or her vegetables?
Yes. Yeah. This is something that I have become aware of.
The kid and Mavis Gwennetown.
Yeah.
And, well, that'll
be a glorious time.
I don't know.
Maybe you'll revisit your ham sweats days.
I love... Oh, yes. No, that sounds like a... The thing that I've discovered with friends of mine who are now parents is that, like, when their kid is feeling picky and doesn't want the rest of their dinner, and then dad finishes their dinner...
They get really mad?
Well, no. I mean, that's just more extra food to have. So I need to make sure that whatever it is, I make that I serve to thy offspring needs to be something that I like.
Do you think that stereotypical, like, aha, dad's gotta cook. It's gonna be tater tots again and chicken fingers.
That will not...
I know that you are capable of cooking.
I do all the cooking at my house. Yeah.
I just... Yeah, okay. So you're already doing all of it. You're not going to forget how. But no. I wonder if that's one of those things that, like, it's not that you can't cook. It's that came to you when you had a newborn and was like, you don't remember how to cook anymore, and here's a big book of terrible puns. Your dad, congratulations.
It's possible. That may happen. You know, I may be visited by the Society of Dads.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a book.
Yeah.
You get like a membership thing.
Maybe when your kid is born, everybody or all your friends will like bring you over a hot dish.
And then you could have a hot dish party. Oh my gosh.
We could specify that. I mean, like, somebody...
Are you going to do a meal train?
I mean, I think so. Somebody usually sets that up, yeah. I feel like, right? And then, but we could specify.
You could have hot dish parties.
Oh, we should definitely do that. I don't know how one goes about, like, because I feel like the past few meal trains that I've participated in were set up by somebody, not the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody's going to do that, I guess, but we should find out who.
You should request your favorite hot dish.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely possible to make requests and things. So
no mayo.
Precisely.
How often does that happen in a hot dish? I don't want to know.
I don't know.
I don't need to know.
This is not information I want either. Yes. I believe it is possible we have time for one more.
All right. I really like this one. It's kind of a long idea.
Okay.
Yup, a crowdsourced magic 8-ball. 50 cents per question, guaranteed feedback from a particular demo. Star advisors, your own board, a little extra. The category is business.
Okay. I think somebody else had this idea, and I think it... I mean, like, I had this idea. I thought about it. And then, like, it was the guys... I think it was the Square guys. Somebody came out, like, announced, like, hey, here's this thing. So the idea I had was basically, like, crowdsourced opinions. So what you would do is be like, hey, does this shirt look weird? I'd take a picture of myself, right? And then, the app would ask me, who do you want to ask, right? Mm-hmm. Like, let's say I'm a single guy. I'm about to go out on a date. I would like to get opinions from women.
Mm-hmm. Between 25 and 35.
Yeah. And so, like, you just send that out. And it's, like, it costs you maybe 50 cents to ask that question.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, like... Women in that age group suddenly get a notif on their phone, like, hey,
Look stupid?
Yeah, does this look stupid? And then it can be like, yes, no, whatever, right? And then, like, you just get opinions.
Answer 50 questions and you don't have to pay for your next question.
Precisely. Yeah.
I would totally be one of those people.
I would be telling people things look stupid all the time.
And it would be, yeah. It would be so,
like,
it's
nope. That's not your color.
It's opinions as a service, like but instantly, like whenever you want them, like or theoretically, right? Because, like, but yeah. So that was the idea.
Wasn't there a thing like that on the Wii when it first came out?
It wasn't really for opinions. And it wasn't user generated.
Okay.
At least I don't think so. Maybe it was. It was the Everybody Votes channel.
Right.
Yeah.
I like the name.
Yep.
Yep. It's like, yep, that'll work. Yep, that'll work.
Nerp.
Yes.
Ooh, try again later.
But, of course, the obvious question that got asked eventually was, like, how do you prevent this from being, like...
a Nazi shit show?
Yes, or just, like, a never-ending string of dick pics.
Yeah, that
right?
too.
Because it's like, is this dick good? Right? Some people would ask. But so you would have to actually put... as your user preferences, like, are dick pics okay?
Have you...
It would have to be heavily moderated.
Yeah.
Yes.
Quality control.
That would simply be part of the terms of service where, like, you just know you're going to have to put up with a bunch of dicks, especially if you're because you have to identify as either male or female or a variation thereupon. Because maybe there are trans people who want... opinions from other trans, you know what I mean? Like
other people want specifically opinions from trans people,
right? Yeah, totally. Yes. Yeah. So I feel like women would probably get a lot of like, "Is this a good dick?" kind of things.
Have I talked on here about critique my dick pic?
I love critique. That Have woman you seen is it? A saint. I have
not. What she does is critique dick pics. She doesn't critique the dicks. She is critiquing the pics, and she gets all these submissions that are like, what do you think of my dick? It's pretty small, huh? And she's like, well, sender, you're a little out of focus, and there's a lot of dirty laundry in the background, which kind of mars the composition. However, the playful shadow over your hand gives it a nice, arty vibe.
It's
B-.
Yeah, she's...
it's brilliant.
She's incredible.
And she's very pro, like... non-biological dicks and trans dicks and dicks of color and like
dicks of color
and I think she actually says that
DOC
exactly but and very into just rating the dick pic. It's not the dick,
and
a lot of dudes don't get that.
They almost never constantly do. And there are so many terrible photos. I don't know how she like compartmentalizes, like, it's...
Do people text her, or what's...
They send them to her, and she posts them to Tumblr, and she has a queue, but you can, like, pay $25 or something for a guaranteed review or something.
Oh, that's a brilliant
idea. So she's monetized
it
a little bit.
That's about a dick. If I had a dick.
Yeah.
Well, if I had a...
or something to use as a dick.
If I had a penis.
Yeah.
Maybe I would want to know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean,
it's about your art skills, so you can, you can submit multiple and develop your skills over time.
It's true.
Photography.
It's true. But yeah, so yup would inevitably be used for this. I'm not sure how to control for it. But again, I just had to have the idea.
Yeah.
I didn't have to, like, build it. So that's for somebody else out there. But I feel like this got built. Or something like it. Mm-hmm. I want to say by one of the guys who made Square or Twitter, but I don't fucking remember what it was called. And since it has yet to blow the world up, I'm guessing that either it's not what I was thinking, or for some reason it hasn't had the user uptake that it should have.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. Maybe there is still space for Yup Yup out there.
I'm looking here. Tlink.
No, I don't
Tink.
Think that. No.
Tink has two I's and two K's.
Now, this one was something like jellyfish or...
This appears to be some kind of like... you post a picture or two and a question to...
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, so somebody made it then.
What is this? Oh, this is from 2013.
Oh, shit.
Might predate your... And I can't think why it didn't last if it, with a name like Tink. Tink. Ranker.
Yeah, but like the thing is that the question that you ask on Yup Yup doesn't necessarily have to come with a picture,
right?
It could just be sort of like, "Hey, I've got a dinner party coming up. Like, what do you
this
think?
This or this?
Yeah, this or this. Or just even, it could be open ended questions as well. You know, I mean, maybe you pay a little extra to have open ended questions answered, where it's like maybe it's $1 if you
Seesaw
want.
Seesaw for iPhone.
Hmm.
Also, 2013. Apparently, this was the thing.
Huh.
Polar.
I don't know why none of those ever took off.
Yeah.
Seesaw, I feel like I heard of, but I think that was, like, crowdsourced polls. Like, it wasn't quite the thing I was thinking of.
Huh.
In any case.
Anyway.
Maybe it is still possible. I think it might be time for one of us to give a terrible recommendation or showcase an idea from our guest.
Okay.
Hi.
I have an idea.
Do you want me to pull up your idea
Thank
here?
Thank you.
Yeah, helping.
I can't figure it out.
Good helper.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, so I've noticed that I have clothes that I wear, but I've noticed that I have favorite clothes, like shirts I always wear, pants I always wear. And I was just wondering if there was any way I could track how often I wear them. So if there was like a waterproof RFID tag that could be like sewn into the tag of my shirt or the tag of my pants. And it would have to be waterproof because
you need to wash my clothes.
Clothes have to be washed.
Yeah, that's a good reason.
And then it could be like the data could be aggregated onto a website or onto like a spreadsheet, and then I could be like, I wear this shirt 70% of the time.
I should probably buy more.
Yeah. Like, okay, so I bike to work every day, mm-hmm. and I wear the same clothes to bike in, mm-hmm. and I'm like, these garments that I'm wearing are the most worn clothes in my wardrobe because I wear them every single day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, maybe I should buy more of them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was just thinking about this the other day, and I'm like, if there was a way to track this data and to get this data, that would be good.
I have an idea of how that could be done. I don't know if people are going to like it, but it's, you know how Amazon has that camera?
Mm-hmm.
It's like an Echo power. It's mm-hmm. like an Alexa-powered camera. So you just make a habit every day of, like, taking a,
yep,
a
showing
selfie,
it what you're wearing,
and then like it just knows what you're wearing.
But then like oftentimes during the day I'll change my clothes.
Oh,
like I get to work in my like biking outfit and then I change my clothes, and then sometimes when I come home from work I change my clothes again to like go out.
So what that means,
so
is
I wear like three pairs of clothes a day.
Well, okay, sometimes. So then what you would have to do is set up a basically like a machine learning brain basically, right? And then give it a phone number, and then you would have to take selfies. Every time you change, you take a selfie, you text that photo to that phone number, and then the brain at the other end can see what you're wearing, and then it just logs it all.
You still want it to be more passive than that,
yeah.
Because you could just write down every time you change your clothing, so...
Yeah, but, like, you could just take a selfie and text it to, you know...
That sounds exhausting.
You know, and a lot of my clothes look the same. Like, I have... 3 or 4 pairs of black pants.
It would need to be trained.
3 pairs of the exact same BDG, like skinny black jeans.
The clothes brain would definitely need to be trained on your specific outfits, but you know, eventually perhaps it would know. This is just my first pass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, I don't want to take a picture of myself every day because that's a pain in the ass.
As a person who doesn't take a lot of selfies,
exhausting.
Yeah. I would just like to just put it on and just have some kind of sensor of, you know, something. The clothes know, oh, I've been worn today.
Yeah, no, the RFID tag is a good idea, but you
or
have
maybe
to...
maybe some kind
you
of,
have
like,
to get it there.
Heat sensor or something. Like, oh, this shirt was put on a human body.
The RFID tag would work if there was a reader embedded in your dresser, right?
Right.
So that every time the item clipping left your dresser, it would log itself as like, okay, I'm being worn. However, that would simply require then that you put your clothes back in the dresser when you're not wearing them, and that,
or you put it in the front door of your house or your bedroom door,
yes,
or something,
yes,
which still doesn't catch the things that you are changing into.
And it would also super confuse it every time there was laundry.
No, you just tell it that if it catches more than like 8 items of clothing going through the door at the same time, to disregard it.
Mm, I like it.
Although
like
it won't catch what you're wearing then, but probably you were already wearing it.
True. So, you know, this has possibilities.
Hmm. So I hope somebody does this one, because I'm just like, ugh, what do I wear? When? How often? Tell me this data. Like, there's so much data available, and just give it to me, please.
Sometimes it needs to be collected, and that's the horror of it.
Give it to me, please.
Excellent. Well, Let's talk about where we can find each other on the internet. I can be found on Twitter or Instagram as Ferocious J, the word ferocious, the letter J. I also have a newsletter at tinyletter.com/ferociousj. It's got collections of interesting articles I found on the internet, links to things I've made, and a couple of dedicated rambles, one of which I just called hashtag dad thoughts. I send it out when the show updates, and I guarantee it's exactly the kind of thing you can happily read over breakfast or while you are bored at work.
It's true. Or while you're actually trying to do things at work, but it's just come out and you're like, but what's John doing? That sounds way more fun than what I'm doing right now. I can be found on Twitter as Besha, B-E-S-H-A, where you can read my mostly retweets about how violence is actually good sometimes right now, but also complaining about things, which is a lot of fun.
Excellent.
I can be found on Instagram at Liz Dembski, L-I-Z-D-E-M-B-S-K-I. My Instagram is mostly pictures of my cat, Veronica, and pictures of San Francisco.
Outstanding.
Veronica. All right. This podcast is available pretty much anywhere you listen to them. Apple Podcasts, that's a thing.
That's how they do.
Oh, you mean the app, right. Stitcher and Google Play Music. Whatever platform you're using, consider leaving us a nice review or a rating as it helps more people discover us and increases the chance of one of these ideas actually being picked up by somebody out there.
I actually would like to put out a call for people to really like put in some reviews, because we know there are at least a few dozen of you out there.
Yep.
And it would be, I mean, like, I think there are 6 reviews on Apple Podcasts at the moment. If we can bump that up to like 10?
Can I review us?
Dare I say 20? Like, I think it would be great, because then, you know, more people would see it, and then more people can join this cult that we are creating.
The hilarity.
Yes. Yes, exactly. But even if you don't, you know what? Thanks for listening. And remember, if you've heard an idea you like, go ahead and do it. I just want credit.
Besha wants a cut.